This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on the day of Christ's resurrection, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that are taking place there in these days?" The stranger asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find Jesus' body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then the stranger said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the stranger interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, the stranger walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?'" Now that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. When I was growing up, my family spent many family vacations in the Smoky Mountains, where we would go on hikes almost every single day. We would hike up paths to see amazing waterfalls or to the chimney tops where we could look out over the majesty of those mountains. And as we walked along the road, we would inevitably stop because someone had spotted a rhododendron that was so beautiful, they wanted everybody else in our group to see it too. Or we would stop because somebody had spotted a dark shadow off in the distance and they were convinced it was a black bear. Or we would stop so my dad could go, "Go Bucks!" because he had spotted a hat that said Ohio State Buckeyes. Or he would stop and go, "Go Rockets!" with even more excitement because he had seen a shirt that said University of Toledo Rockets, which is where my dad went to college. I think one time he even stopped and cried, "Are you a Lutheran?" because he had spotted someone wearing a Thrivent t-shirt. As we hiked past through the mountains, my dad would inevitably stop, for he had spotted an opportunity to make a connection. Now, when I was a teenager, this drove me and my brothers absolutely bonkers. We had not gone hiking in the mountains to make friends with random strangers, Dad. But no matter how many times my brothers and I would sigh deeply and roll our eyes, my dad would still not pass up the opportunity to make a connection. And now, I have turned into my father. For I do the exact same thing. Just the other week, I was at the garden center, and I was returning my cart, and I spotted an older gentleman who was wearing a Jazz Fest shirt. And I happened to be wearing the exact same shirt. So as I passed by him, I gently touched him on the shoulder and said, "That's a great looking shirt you got on today." And he looked at me and replied, "Yes, we're very stylish." We both chuckled and smiled, and then I walked on to put my cart away. And when I turned around to return to my car, I found that this gentleman was waiting for me. When I walked by him again, he connected further by telling me that this was his favorite shirt to wear to the garden center because it's that Jazz Fest pattern that is covered in irises. Said it's the perfect shirt to wear when you're going to buy new plants. And I agreed, couldn't pick a better one. And again, we chuckled and we smiled. After that interaction, I had a big smile on my face for a long time. And as I think back on all the times that my dad has stopped random strangers to make connections with them, I cannot think of a single time when those strangers were bothered or upset that someone had noticed something about them and sought to make a connection. In fact, all I remember is that as they walked away, they had a big smile on their faces and even an extra little spring in their step, which is no easy feat when you are hiking 6 miles up a mountain. My dad loves to connect with people, and he never, never misses an opportunity to do so. Even this past week when he was getting an MRI and his nurse was named Katie, he said, "Hey, my daughter's name is Katie." He never misses a chance to connect, no matter what path we might be walking along. In our gospel lesson, the disciples are presented with an opportunity to connect. And they don't know it, but this is the most important opportunity to connect in their entire lives. They're walking along the road to Emmaus when a stranger approaches them, seeks connection with them. The stranger joins their group, and they spend the rest of this 7-mile walk talking together. And then when they reach Emmaus, they invite the stranger to join them. They sit down together, the disciples and this stranger. And the stranger blesses the bread, breaks it, and gives it to them. Suddenly, their eyes are opened and they recognize that this stranger is in fact Jesus. They have witnessed the resurrected Christ. Jesus has been with them all along the road. It is an incredible moment in the disciples' lives, probably the most important moment in their lives. And this moment almost doesn't happen. They almost miss it. Luke includes this peculiar little detail. As they came near the village to which they were going, the stranger walked ahead as if he were going on. I mean, think about this. This stranger almost walks away. It's like he's picked up his pace and gotten ahead of them. And if he had walked away, if the disciples had just let him go, they would have missed experiencing the resurrected Christ. And one of our most important resurrection moments, the one that we remember every single week in the blessing and the breaking and the giving of the bread, wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been written down and shared with us that we would experience that resurrection moment every week in communion 2,000 years later. Imagine if the disciples had missed this opportunity for connection and simply let the stranger walk away. This incredible resurrection moment, it almost doesn't happen. The disciples, they have to choose it. Jesus walks on ahead, giving them this opportunity to choose to connect with who they think is a complete stranger. They have to choose connection. My siblings, I believe that Jesus presents many opportunities for us to connect. And every time we choose connection based on something good, it is a resurrection moment. The presence of Christ is felt, and the kingdom of God, it breaks into our world. It might come out in the smile of a stranger, or someone hiking up the mountains with an extra spring in their step, or a stranger at the garden center who reciprocates that moment of connection. It might even come out in the breaking of the bread. Every one of these connection moments that are based on something good and on a genuine desire to simply be kind to a stranger. These are moments of resurrection, for they bring the life of the risen Christ into our world. So my siblings, today I have a challenge for you, the Emmaus challenge. When you are presented with an opportunity to connect, do not let it pass you by. Choose connection based on something good. It's not difficult. Just notice something about a stranger. Be observant and listen to the opportunities that Jesus is giving you. And then say something. Make the connection. And this is the perfect time of year to do it. While so many of us are out and about for festivals or going for walks in our neighborhoods or working in our gardens or simply sitting on our porches enjoying the spring. My siblings, make simple connections. Because making simple connections, right, with strangers, it might not seem like a big deal. But in our gospel lesson, it is a simple connection with a stranger that leads to the revelation of the risen Christ and a resurrection moment that we remember every single week in communion. Simple connection with a stranger led to the presence of Christ revealed. So, don't miss an opportunity to connect. Choose connection. For who knows? You might be connecting with Jesus. Amen.